pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
French?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Page?
Here.
Salomon?
Here.
Quorum present.
Item 3, the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items in the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have three items. A, approval of the May 28th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. B, approval of the resignation of Jason Bissner from the Planning Commission effective May 28th, 2019. C, approval of the Great Lakes Energy Metro Act requested and authorized the city manager to complete and return the necessary paperwork. Any items for a motion?
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Let's move on to hearing citizens' comments on agenda items. Thank you. Moving on to correspondence, we have communication from Ken Allen regarding the desire to not seek reappointment to the Planning Commission. So that's right there. There's two seats available currently.
I have a question about that.
Yes.
We talked in the past about within one of our goals about our process for recruiting and trying to get a pool of individuals interested. Now we have two openings in the Planning Commission. Are we going to do anything different? Or do we have the opportunity to do something different to advertise that availability or try to get a pool of individuals who for us to choose?
Scott, could you answer that, please?
Well, we have been doing advertising continuously, and we've been reaching out to potential candidates. We do have two that have submitted applications that will be considered at the next planning commission meeting.
I was just wondering if we have a description that's more than just position open, talks more about the opportunities that person might have as a planning commission member, or not necessarily as much the commitment, but the opportunities.
Well, yeah, and in the development guide that's on the web, it kind of talks about all our various boards, commissions, responsibilities, roles, and that was kind of an effort to more thoroughly explain what the planning commission does and the opportunities involved in it. So.
Just to follow through to fill those two positions now. The from
the typical process of the candidates have a recommendation from the planning commission that goes to the city commission for
those two are not there this week. Will we have potential for a quorum?
There's a potential for a quorum, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so okay. Very good. Thank you. Anything else on that? Mike? City manager's report?
Yes. A few items for you today. Want to let you know that two of our water and wastewater employees, Nick and Dennis, took and passed state exams for additional licenses associated with their water system work, giving them greater capabilities. So we're really proud of them for doing that and look forward to taking advantage of that. The zoning permits for the one-story dental building across the street at the Old Roberts restaurant site and the surge center in the business park have been issued by our planning department. The surge center has indicated that they hope to be begin clearing their site on M75 South before the end of the month. And obviously the Roberts site has partially been cleared already. The city's new automatic external defibrillator, AED device, has been installed downstairs in the lobby where it can now be accessed by the public whenever the lobby is open. And we have put signage at our entrance door and at the pavilion to let people know that that's here as well, too. Last week, we received our 2018 actuary report on our MERS pension system. Key takeaways that I saw going through that were that our funded ratio, increased, and that should be 76 to 83%, not 66. Also, our projected contributions over the coming six fiscal years decreased by some $243,584 over that time period. On the negative side, it appears that later year contributions do not decrease as much as originally projected. So there's some immediate decreases, but there's kind of a leveling off, it appears, at a higher level than was originally projected. Based on that information, I provided the commission with an updated general fund balance chart, along with the one that I provided the commission in April. This fund updated chart shows not or as deep a drop as was projected in our earlier one. And we'll be giving you a further update to that chart after this year's audit is completed, and that process begins a little bit from a month from now. So if you look at the chart that I provided for you, the last 5 years that are shown here, it's not as bad with regards to where our fund balance is in any day here. We don't get the far as deep a trough. With the new number of 747,000, that's the low that we anticipate that fund balance to go down to versus some $300,000 previously. And then it starts moving up a little bit after that. I want to let you know that our spring leaf collection and residential rubbish collection programs are now done until the fall. I think several of you were here to see Jack Novak, formally sworn in as Wine City's newest police officer at a ceremony here in this room. And that took place yesterday morning. As you noticed probably on your way in today, that milling has begun on North Lake Street Mill and Resurfacing Project this afternoon. And it's scheduled to continue probably until about 9 o'clock tonight. And we anticipate that that work will continue tomorrow. Then the final step will be, other than pavement markings, the actual paving or repaving. That's also scheduled to take place this week, but we're looking at the weather forecast and enjoy the sunshine now. It looks like it's going to be getting pretty rainy next few days, so that may have to be delayed. But the road will be passable during that time. It'll just be rougher, and there'll be some obstacles to navigate around. Any further updates on any of that, Tim, since I wrote this and conferred with you earlier?
Trying to get done tonight.
All right. We're also noticing, too, that the state's MDOT M75 mill and resurfacing project is making good progress, with most of the work done on state and east streets, other than final markings, appearing to be complete. They continue to be working on M75 South, that portion east of the high school, and MDOT is still calling for a June 21st completion date. On a related note, I've been advised earlier today that MDOT's contractor was in the city yesterday with sweeping the curved edges of all of M75. So that was like the only road that hasn't been swept in town. It's usually done earlier in the year. MDOT does it once a season, but that was delayed due to their other road work. It's usually done about the time of Buffalo Point. I've included for the commission a copy of our 2018 annual water quality report. It's now on the city's website, and it should be in the Boyne Gazette tomorrow. And then we'll have additional paper copies that will be delivered here. Again, there's copies for the commission in the packet I provided you. As usual, there's no red flags or violations to report. The water is good to drink, and I'm drinking this. So, also just one way to come out, and we'll be coming out with our July 1st tax bills as a summer newsletter. We just got them from the printer today, and there's copies provided for the city commission. A reminder that next Thursday, the 20th, between 3 and 4:30 p.m., will be MSU Extension's second marijuana webinar. This one will be dealing with framing a public conversation around local marijuana regulations, and it'll be held in this room. That's open to the public. at no charge, and they will be, these sessions will be continuing on a monthly basis throughout October. And then the commissioners hopefully saw the emails I sent out earlier today with regards to the other two sessions that are available, and just so we can get the feedback as to what sessions the commissions are interested, so we get everybody signed up for the proper ones. Staff is planning to bring to the city commission at one of your future meetings, possibly as early as our next meeting, our revised fireworks timing ordinance to bring it into line with recent state law changes. Given the timing of our ordinance approval process, it will not be possible to have these new regulations in place before the 4th of July. But we should be able to get them well in place before the next holiday fireworks period, which is the Labor Day holiday. So, next week, Wednesday through Friday, I'll be away from the office participating in the Michigan Municipal League's annual board retreat. So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Mike, I have a question. I got an invitation to the Boyne Heritage Center event next week. Is there anything about that other than the invitation? Did everybody get an invitation?
Yes, I did.
So they're going to present their plan and then talk about fundraising ideas?
Yes. They're reaching out to a broad segment of the community, kind of community leaders, to begin that conversation. So I think you're going to see a lot more activity from the Boyne Heritage Center group. In the front ahead. They're really focused on fundraising now. They got a lot of the preliminary work done with some design concepts from the consultant that we hired. We've seen some of those before, some of those presentations. They now have their 501c3 process established and authorized by the IRS, so they, you know, they're in a much better position to raise money, and they have that work for people's advantage as well too. So they've been putting up a lot of pieces together behind the scenes, and now I think you can really see if you can follow it. So hopefully you can attend that and see what they have to talk to you about.
The other thing is, since we've gone to the iPads, would it be possible for you to email these to us afterwards so we can keep it in the month, you know, that meetings
sure.
File?
Yep.
You know, just help the information.
Yeah, I can do that.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you. Moving on to reports of officers and boards of the same committee in our packet. We have the draft minutes of May 2nd, Main Street Board meeting, the draft minutes of May 7th, Zoning Board of Appeals meeting, the draft minutes of the May 9th, Parks and Rec Commission meeting, the draft minutes of the May 13th, LDFA meeting, the draft minutes of the May 13th, EDC meeting, the draft minutes of the May 20th, Planning Commission meeting, draft minutes of the May 20th Historical Commission meeting, the draft minutes of the May 23rd Historic District meeting, and draft minutes of the May 23rd Airport Advisory Board. Okay, a lot of reading. Any questions?
I just, the EDC, Mike has talked about visiting some local, you know, plants and business parks.
Yes.
Would it be possible for us to do that, or would that be too many people at one time?
No, I think we've talked about that before. We'll see what we can do to accommodate that.
Okay. So old business, moving on to new business, item A, GSB 75JR. Mike?
That would be me.
Sorry,
that's okay. In 2015, the GASB board issued statement number 25, and it's supposed to improve accounting and financial reporting in our annual financial statement for the other post-employment benefits. And though the OPEB is for the retirement's medical stipend, if you've been here for 25 years or more, you would get this, I think it's up to $264 a month for up to 10 years. That program was discontinued, but there's still several people who are grandfathered in. Eight are currently receiving that benefit, eight retirees, and there's a potential of 5 to 8 in the future that could get that benefit. But we have to report what our costs are going to be or what the projection is going to be. So we've been reporting it, but GASB is saying you can report it a little bit better. You can refine that. So in order to do that, we have to have an actuarial. They're requiring an actuarial study, but based on the size of our plan, we could do an enhanced type of spreadsheet. And the only company that will do this is the Raymond Group. And rather than spend the $8,500 on an actuarial study that GRS would do, we think it would be best to go with Raymond for $3,500. They would then provide us with a template that I could use in the future with just plugging in as people change and as numbers change. I just think this is our way to go. It would save us a lot of money, but it has to be done. It's a requirement of GASB. So I'm recommending that we contract with Raymond to do this.
Thank you, Cindy. Any comments from the staff or the public? Let's go to board deliberation.
So basically, they're going to do the first year, and then you'll just plug in names, and it'll just take you a few minutes.
Yes.
How often do you have to do it every year?
We'll have to do it every year.
That's all, thanks.
So? Hey, Ron. Sounds good also. I'm going to entertain a motion.
I make a motion the City Commission approve a contract with Raymond in the amount of $3,500 to perform an actuarial evaluation of the City of Boyne City's OPEB plan using an alternative measurement method and authorize the City Manager to execute the documents.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grinch.
Aye.
Niedhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Salomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
This agreement is specific to two properties on West Cedar Street, on the section of Cedar that we're going to reconstruct. They approached Mike and I during the first public meeting on this project with a request to pave a portion of the alley, the portion that is just between their two properties. The alley does extend a little bit further, if you would call that south, and then east over to Maple Street, but that portion would remain unpaved. It services some other properties as well. So we included that option in the contract documents when it was bid out. The bids came back favorable, and the two property owners wanted to move forward with cost sharing that 50-50. So we drafted this agreement for the purposes of covering the cost sharing side of it, and we can use it in the future should similar situations arise again. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any other comments from staff? The two neighbors are not here tonight. Okay, that's fine. Let's go to board deliberation. Start that in, Sal?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
I think I've remembered that the residents are splitting the cost. It's not 50-50 with the city, correct?
That's correct.
So the residents are paying the entire cost of that.
Correct.
So I thought.
Right.
I'm good.
You?
So, Tim, do you know why that is an alley? Because it looks like it's a driveway that the two properties then share. Is that what it is, the access back to their...
It does. If you will, there are kind of side driveways off
right.
That alley, and then they turn into the garage off of those side driveways. Then it does service some other properties along the back of Cedar Street, and then I think a vacant property even south of the alley.
And they would continue to clear it because it's a driveway. The city wouldn't have any responsibility with that?
We do currently plow that section that's shown in pink. We don't plow the rest of it. We just have historically always plowed that during the winter time, and summer maintenance is very limited. Going forward, they will be responsible for maintenance other than the plowing component.
So is it like we're plowing their driveway?
Okay. Services some other properties like I mentioned as well. Historically, we have done that.
That's all, thanks.
Have no questions, then we would entertain a motion.
I would move to approve a bid from, from Harbor Fest.
No.
I checked it off too. to approve the agreement with the property owners at 221 West Cedar Street and 225 West Cedar for paving of the public alley off of Cedar Street and authorize city manager to execute the agreement and have it recorded with the other board.
I'll second that.
A second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Brunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item C, security fencing.
Mr. Mayor? Yeah, during one of our spring storms, there was a tree up on Avalanche. And, the wind blew it down, it took out a section of the fence up there, the fence that goes around our south reservoir. And so we need to get that repaired. We can walk right over the tree now into there, so we'll get that tree cut out there and get that fence repaired. And we got a quote from Harbor Fence of Petoskey for $2,397. They do all the work typically around here because they're closest. We've had other bids, but they have to come from Traverse City, so we pay a lot extra for travel time if we really go there. So I recommend we go to Harbor Fence of Petoskey to perform the work and get the fence fixed up at the town of Avalanche. Is there any questions you may have?
Does insurance cover any of that?
Yes, we're going to apply for insurance. It'll probably cover, I think I've exactly $1,000, and so it'll cover anything over $1,000.
Okay. Any other comments? Dean?
Same thing.
Okay. Ron?
I'm good with it.
You?
Good.
Scott?
Good.
Okay. Solomon? For motion?
Sally, you're expert.
Yeah, I might as well. I move to approve a bid from Harbor Fence of Petoskey to repair a section of fencing around the south reservoir of Avalanche in the amount of $2,397 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Page?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Brunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Item D, sale of surplus Holder tractor recommendation. Yes, Tim.
So this is a little bit of a unique one, but we were approached by a resident of West Virginia, actually, who has a family member in the Traverse City area and is looking to purchase a snowblower for their driveway. It's a significant property that they have, and they need a big piece of equipment in order to blow that driveway out. So he contacted the seller, like who we originally bought this tractor from, Bell Equipment, to see if anybody had one of these around in Michigan. They told him that we had an old one that we hadn't used for some time because they service it. So anyways, one thing led to another. He showed up, he took a look at the tractor, and then provided us this written proposal that is in the city commission packet. To purchase this 17-year-old tractor for $15,000, subject to a few things, that the blower work, that the mower that also comes with this tractor work, and that basically it runs. So we thought it was appropriate to bring it to the city commission rather than going out for formal bids trying to solicit somebody to buy this. This is a pretty unique piece of equipment. I don't think there's a lot of people that would want a tractor that is this old in this condition for the amount of money that he's offering to purchase, which was about 25% of its original purchase price. We had been holding on to it as a backup, but that backup was purchased a couple years ago. This tractor has not been used for several years now. It's just kind of taking up space, and as you can see, leaking a little bit of fluid on the floor here in the garage. So, it is of no value to us beyond the cash value of what could be used to purchase other equipment down the road. So my recommendation would be that we accept Mr. Cahalan's offer and go through the process of getting it running, testing it out with him, and if he's good with it, then I think the offer will stand at $15,000, and if not, we're asking for some flexibility that Mike and I could negotiate a slightly different amount if need be.
Thank you. Any questions? Ron, I'll start with you.
I guess the first question is, do we have anything else out there that's sitting in mothballs that we could sell?
We do. We have an old pickup truck and an old dump truck, at lease, that we're looking to auction off later this year. I think there'll be, you know, some interest from maybe farmers and contractors or possibly hobbyists to purchase those units. But like I mentioned, this is a highly specialized unit. I don't really see too many people looking for this kind of a piece of equipment.
So also, you know, think about things that could be sold. I think about salvaging some of the stuff that's up there at North Point, particularly along Court Street there. There's aluminum, there's a lot of fencing, there's a lot of posts, stuff I don't know that we'll ever use again, and it's been there for years, and it's, I don't know if the markets would attract a salvager, you know, to come in, or bid, yes, two or three salvagers, you know, bid on it, taking that stuff off our hands. So, I guess raises the question in my mind as we're possibly negotiating with selling the property there for on Court Street for future development, and someday that mess has got to be cleaned up someday. I mean, it's,
our goal is to have that site cleaned up this summer.
That'd be great. Neighbors will be happy.
Thank you, Ron.
I'm good with the proposal there.
Okay.
Dean? I think it's fine, although I'm wondering if the city has a policy, overall policy regarding disposal of surplus equipment, or whether we just sort of handle it however.
No, there is a policy on it, and generally it does go up for auction.
So why, this sounds like, you know, a pretty big deal. Why are we not then following the policy for this piece of equipment?
Because the process worked backwards and we had so many approach us.
Already?
Yes. And based on the discussions that Tim and I had, we thought this was worth bringing to the commission. I double-checked with Tim and whether we thought this was a fair price or a good price for the city. And it seems like, based on what Tim's been able to find out from the Bell equipment, it seems like a pretty attractive price, so it seemed like, okay, this might be worthy of an exception.
So we're unlikely, I think, as you already said, to receive more by putting it out of non-function.
We believe so. And especially going back and taking a look at, okay, what we originally purchased the piece of equipment for in 2002. Again, for something of this character, 17 years old, to get that almost 25% of its purchase price back seems pretty solid. Everything seemed to be checking that it looked like a good deal for us.
Great. Thank you.
Sally?
I just look at it as that one owner out there somewhere that happened to fall into that. Sounds like a good 25% is pretty good.
You?
Yeah, I had the same question that Dean had about a policy. So really where it kind of went off the tracks is that we had an old piece of equipment that sat in a garage that we should have dealt with before and gone through the process, but it sat there. Now somebody has identified it and given us a real reasonable offer. Is that basically?
Basically.
Because, you know, according to what the DPW guy said, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was operational, it runs well, just has a few leaks, you know, it's surprising we weren't using it. But I guess that's water under the bridge. So I'm good.
Okay. I've got another question too. You know, what we do for a contingency plan if our present home goes down?
Well, we have two new tractors that have replaced this equipment. And I think if we go back, when we bought some of those pieces of equipment, it's when this became a surplus and a secondary vehicle, and kind of as a spare. Some of you may recall some of the discussions we had with regards to the condition of the mower deck. It'll work, but it was getting very thin. I think there's holes in it, and people were concerned about its safety. And this piece of equipment, even though it does work, is very prone to breakdowns. And whenever we had breakdowns, secondary piece of equipment, I mean, okay, it might have some value on it, but if, you know, if we haven't used it for a couple of years, I think we've kind of moved beyond that. So I think the discussion about why we replaced it would have been the discussion that, and I think we did have it when we bought the replacement equipment.
When was the last time this thing was actually operated, used?
But Tim was saying it sounds like it's been a couple of years now.
Probably 2016.
Is it the one that sat out here for a while?
Oh, geez, I remember something sitting out there for a while. It would fit very well with a bin.
It wasn't. Well, $15,000 would be good for that.
Either was this one or its twin. We had two of these at one time.
Okay. Anything else? I'm in support. For a motion.
Move to approve the sale of the 2002 Holder tractor to Mr. Deanne Callahan, pursuant to the conditions of his written offer dated May 17, 2019, and further authorize the city manager and DPW director to negotiate as necessary on a fair price in the best interest of the city of Point City.
Awesome. So I got it for a second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item E, the Solid Branch computer hardware software purchase.
Thank you, Mayor. That's one little correction in the way it's worded on the agenda. It's the hardware is going to be purchased from Markor Technologies. The software will be purchased directly from Mastery. As we're winding down the Solid Branch, we're getting a better handle on exactly where we're at with the budget. As of 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting and went over it, and approximately $563,000 of the $767,000 has been spent, leaving approximately $204,000 left. Of that remaining, we have about $144,000 of work yet to be completed, so there is approximately about $60,000 of funds that are unallocated. So in order to maximize the use of these dollars, we had a meeting discussing other options that would be eligible for this items. And some of that is the hardware and software purchases. To date, we've purchased one desktop and two laptops, and we've purchased one desktop ArcGIS license and one 3D analyst license. So we want to expand on that with the goal to be able to put machines in the planner and system planner office, the DPW director, the water and sewer director, and the city manager's office with the ability to use and manipulate all the SOC data that's coming out. So with that, we would need to purchase two more desktops, one laptop, two ArcGIS basic licenses, and two 3D analyst licenses. Those are really critical now that we have the LiDAR data. At first, they would have limited functionality just for the modeling of the water and sewer lines, but now that we have the LiDAR, this opens up a whole new realm of things that we can do. So those are definitely things we want. And then spatial analyst license that gives us some additional capabilities manipulating that data. So with that, the proposal is at $16,970 for all this hardware and software, and it is submitted to you for your approval.
Scott, is the license just a one-time payment?
Yes, these are standalone perpetual licenses. So basically, they sell you the license. You can buy maintenance annually. I found that there's really not the value there. And I've been using the software for over 15 years. one time I bought maintenance, it's annual maintenance. Didn't use it, and it's usually $500 to $1,000 a year. So, you know, after 3 or 4 years, you're basically buying the license, so it really didn't make sense to do that. So we just get perpetual licenses for each machine, and then that's easy to work out pretty well.
Staff, public, any other comments? Mike?
It's mentioned in the beginning of Scott's memo, but again, I just want to remind the commission of the 90-10 split on this. So when we're looking at this purchase of $16,970, it's going to end up costing the city $1,697, since we're only paying 10% and the state's paying 90%. So this is a great value for dealing with some technology needs that we're going to need here anyway.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, you.
Are the computers just specific for using those license, those programs, or
no,
is it just it's a general?
They have full capability for everything else.
That's all. Okay, so.
Yeah, I'm good with this. I was wondering though, as I was reading about this and the new technology, have we been able to utilize any of the data that we collected from televising?
So we haven't received that yet.
I haven't got it yet.
But the idea is once we do, we'll link that to the map, and so there will be a point that you can bring up a video of that section of the pipe.
So when you're bored in the office someday, you can just look at videos and you can think too.
Really?
Okay.
I'm good with it.
I am too.
I would make a motion the City Commission approve the purchase of computer hardware and software in the amount not to exceed $16,970 for Marcor Technologies and authorize the City Manager to execute the documents.
And Treasury? Second.
Did you get that change, Cindy?
I did.
Okay. And you have the second run? Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on. Item F, collective bargaining agreement. Okay.
Yes, as the commission is aware, our current or existing collective bargaining agreement with our ASME bargaining unit expired at the end of March of this year. And we've been having negotiations with them since then. The ASME collective bargaining agreement covers 10 employees that work in the Department of Public Works and our water wastewater departments, also including our maintenance department. These employees are represented by ASME and came together with a series of demands that we worked our way through. And we're recommending a package that basically provides for the following changes. Increasing the holiday bonus to $200 a year. We end up with a 4-year agreement, which would have wage increases of 3% the first year, 2.5% the second and third year, and 3% the fourth year. Create letters of understandings with regards to using existing licenses for a former water wastewater employee for time that he's actually working with water wastewater tasks, even though he's now in the DPW, to give us some backup on that. Provide additional compensation for employees that are doing mechanics work while they are doing that work. Increasing life insurance to $50,000 per employee. Creating a working foreman's position, which will basically oversee all employees in the Department of Public Works and all other foremen, in many respects acting as a deputy for the Director of Public Works, and an additional increase. Creating a letter of understanding, creating a foreman's position for the maintenance employee, making minor modifications with regards to work uniforms to provide a bib and jacket every 3 years, and up to 2 boots per year at a maximum of $175 per year. And then also include a $250 signing bonus. And finally, a language change that deals with how long previous disciplinary matters are held as active in an employee's personnel file. And that would be 3 years after any clean behavior after that. This agreement has been tentatively agreed by the bargaining unit. They had a vote on this with their members last week. And it's my recommendation that the City Commission approve this package and authorize us to draft and execute the resulting agreement. Do I answer any questions you might have?
Thank you, Mike. Any audience questions, comments? Board deliberation. Sally?
I'm good with it.
Dean?
I'm good with it. Looks like appears both here and our discussions in both sessions that this was negotiated good faith by both parties, and it's equitable and in line or comparable to other agreements that we have, so I'm fully supportive.
Rob?
I'm good with it.
You?
Yeah, I would echo Dean's comments.
Okay, I'm in support. No motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the collective bargaining agreement.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
Enough.
Roll call, please.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Well done. Moving on to good of the order. Commissioner?
I'm good.
I've got one item. I was going through the draft minutes for the Parks and Rec Commission, and they did an inspection there in Rotary Park. And in regards to the question I have is the tennis courts, the status of the surface there. I was up there and looked at it today. There were 12 seniors playing, and they were all having a great time. But that thing, it looks like it's disintegrating. I mean, it's just...
Yes.
We just had it done.
And we've been having continuing conversations with the parties that were involved in that reconstruction process. There has been a settlement that's worked out. Those surfaces will be completely replaced at the end of the summer. There are certain temperatures as to when it needs to be done and when the agreement came up with. So by the end of this year, when we go into fall, those will all be repaired.
Now the other question I have is in regards to the Rotary Club that built a facility there for the bathrooms and that, and talking about the doors. Are they still responsible for maintaining that?
No, that was a gift to the city. It is now ours to maintain.
Actually, the overall looks of the facility up there is just awesome. I mean, the fields look great, and just in the same way with the T-ball park downtown, it looked good. Just everything looks great up there.
Thank you, Ron. A follow-up on that would be...
a new station alert has arrived.
As far as the field use and parking, it's still kind of a haphazard parking, but I agree with you that Rotary Park sure is used on any given night. Community soccer and high school and community baseball and softball and the tennis courts, and you just keep on. It's a great facility.
Two other things, I guess, related to that. One, if we're looking at resurfacing of the tennis courts, you'll recall that we had two of these courts that were done as pickleball regards to the comment with regards to the parking, just a reminder to the city commission that DPW is still working for yet this spring to put in those posts that will better define some of the parking areas and hopefully give a little bit more definition to those areas. So.
Anything else? Okay, announcements. The next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, June 25th at noon. It is 7:49. I'll make the motion to adjourn. Give a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thanks, everybody.